Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7, if you want to follow. So it says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Father, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to your word. Lord, I pray through all that is said this morning, through Alistair and through what Helen shared, through your conversations, that you'd be speaking to us this morning. Amen.
Well, as I've said, Christmas is a great time to be with family. I know that's not always possible for everyone, but I was delighted when my son came home from university, and even more delighted I didn't need to give him a lift home. Came home on the train and he wanted to drive the car and all of that. And then we'd spent an evening together and we had a meal together. The rest of the family were busy. It wasn't that we excluded them. And we went to see Star Wars. And I love Star Wars. I was really looking forward to it. But as the film went on, I was going, that's just so far-fetched. I don't believe it. That just didn't happen. And as the film was going on, as the film finished, I was going, what were you finished? And I turned around, Scott McRoberts was right behind me from St. Columba. The whole St. Columba men's group were there on the right behind us. And you know, and we went home and we continued the conversation. And they're going, Dad, it's not real. It's just a story. Star Wars is not real. So what was it about me that was reacting to the bits that were not real? There was a great story of hope about, you know, Luke Skywalker and all that. But the thing about Christmas traditions, some of them are not real. Some of them make us feel good, but they're not real. Some of them are, and the family were saying to me, for a film you didn't like, why have you been talking about it ever since? You said you didn't like the film, but you've just never stopped talking about it. I think the reason why I enjoyed it was because it was a bit of escape from reality. It was a good switch off. And some of our Christian traditions, not our Christian traditions, but our Christmas traditions, are an escape from reality. But the Christian message of hope, of Jesus, light of the world, takes us into reality, not an escape from reality. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, is a dark, dark time and a dark family situation. If you go back 700 years to the prophecy of Isaiah that we've read this morning, it is a time of faith, which is at a very low level in God's chosen people. It's a time when the king did not trust in God. He was challenged by the prophet Isaiah in the face of invading armies to put your trust in the God who has always said, I will be with you. And the king said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to trust in God. And Isaiah said, a sign will be given to you, a child, and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And you fast forward 700 years, and you have Mary and Joseph, and you have Zechariah and Elizabeth. And the Romans are in charge of the land, and they haven't heard from a prophet for 400 years. And although they're back in the land, the people are not close to God. And the angels come and they say, a child will be born. And the fact is that this child is the very center of reality. This child was there. The person of Jesus was there when our reality was created. It says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. In the beginning, God said, let us make men and women. Who's the us? Who's God talking to when he says, let us make men and women? He's talking to Jesus, because Jesus was always there. There never was a time when Jesus was not. He is reality. He is the very center of reality. And he wasn't only the creator reality. He is now living in the center of human life, tested and tried in every way as we are, yet was without sin. Being a Christian is not an escape from reality. Being a Christian is to move into what it means to be a human being. Jesus became a human being, and the more we know Jesus, the more human we will become. Have you ever felt there's been too much inhumane things happening in our world today? You just think of history and all the man's inhumanity to man. Well, when Jesus came and how he lived in such a humane way, the way that God has always wanted us to live. But I want to ask you, where is your hope this Christmas? Is it an escape from reality, or is it in the center of reality? We need hope. The reason why so many of these films like Star Wars make us feel so good is because they're kind of full of a narrative of hope. There's an underlying longing within us for a story of hope. But the greatest story of hope is not fiction. It's in the time of Herod the Great. National Geographic did a spread on him last Christmas. It's in the time of Caesar Augustus, written by Josephus, the historian. The Christmas message is that God is the true light who came into the world in the birth of Jesus Christ. The light of Jesus Christ shines in our darkness, and the darkness will not overcome that light. Jesus is the light that never goes out. And if you put your faith in him, your light will never go out. But we need faith in order to have this hope. The wonderful thing about God is that he is so full of grace. You know, this light that comes to us? The grace of God comes to us, bringing us light and life. And that grace is the oxygen. We've all lived our lives and we've tried our best, but we've all fallen short, haven't we, in 2019? There's things, if we could turn back the clock, we would have done them differently. But the good news is this, that God is gracious. And he's just as he gives the sun to us, I know it's a bit foggy today, but use your imagination. The sun comes on the good and on the bad. And I'm not saying the people on this side of the church are good and this side of the church. So the sun comes on the good and the bad, and the good and the bad. And God's sun is given to us whether we're good or whether we're bad. It's a gift, the greatest gift ever given. But if you want to have this hope, you have to believe in God. Listen carefully. No God, no hope. No God, no hope. If you know God, you'll know hope. K-N-O-W. Do you want to know hope in your life? You need to know God. That's the starting point. A prayer. Hope is light that's shining in the darkness, because it's in the darkness that we need to shine. There's no point lighting a candle on the middle of a sunny day. We light a candle when it's really dark. And hope is like a bird that sings in the darkness before the dawn. And you think about a child on Christmas Day, and they open the presents. And I heard about a child that came to Boxing Day, and they wrapped up their presents again, and then opened them. And they went, oh, I have to wait till next year. We don't have to wait till next year to have this hope in our lives, because the fact is that the light has already come. I'm just thinking about that great evangelist, Louis Palau. Do you know how he was called into ministry? Is that he was asking the question to his mother, I just don't know if I've been called. And she said, called? Called? The call went out 2,000 years ago. Go and share the good news. I just don't know if there's any hope today. The hope came 2,000 years ago, and the hope is in Christ, and he's still here, and he's here for you. See, my structure today is three parts. The light has dawned, and a son is given. A son is given. Unto us, a son is given. And those who know Handel's Messiah, you can hum it. Or you can sing it in your head. Can you do that? Can you listen to me and sing it in your head? Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. Some of you are looking at me going, what's he on about? It's a great, great piece of classical music. It's all about this passage we've read, and it's joyful. And if you're thinking, I'm not into classical music, then just go into Google and put in Handel's Messiah, Hallelujah, Flash Mob, and you'll see this wonderful singing of it in the middle of, not Eastgate Center, but a place like it in New York somewhere. But if we think of a son given to us, we're thinking about God's son. You know, the amazing thing about the biblical story, the gospel story of Mary and Joseph, is that Jesus is not Joseph's son. A son is given to Joseph. That takes great faith. Let's watch the video.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus.
Joseph's faith. What a hard road Joseph had to accept a son that did not come from his own body. Did you know that the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 that when Adam and Eve rebelled against God, God spoke to the devil, to the serpent, and he said, from the seed of the woman, one shall come, and he shall strike your head. You shall strike his heel, and he will bruise your head. The promise of hope, right at the beginning of the Bible, came through the seed of the woman. The Eve who had been deceived and who sinned, and yet we have Mary, that out of her womb comes the Savior of the world. How amazing is that? Ponder that one this Christmas. But think about Joseph and how he had to ponder that one. He had no Bible. Yeah, he would have known the promises. I don't know if he would have had Genesis 3:15 as a memory verse, but he had to think about the fact that the angel had told him this word, and he believed it. He didn't understand it, but he believed it. And you're not going to understand everything about this amazing mystery of God becoming a human being. You're not going to understand everything about God being born of a virgin. But there's lots of things you don't understand, but still believe. And this is the most important thing of all to understand, that God sent his Son to save us. And for me, it's about trying to understand, believing the promises of God's word, and allowing that faith to rise in my heart and to be translated into worship. That's why I wasn't kidding when I was talking about Handel's Messiah. Because for me, it's about worship. At this stage in our Christmas preparations, we should be worshiping. Wondering and worshiping. I want to ask you, are you wondering and worshiping? I spent Tuesday evening with a group studying this very point, God becoming human. Many of them thinking about it for the first time in their lives. And I woke up having breakfast the next morning and had a song playing by Chris Tomlin called Emmanuel. And I just burst into tears. Tears of joy. Because that which I was trying to comprehend in my head, I just accepted it and worshipped. What shall I give him this Christmas? I'll give him my heart. The one who came to reign. But, just the whole idea of the name. What does the name mean? Jesus was given this name. Jesus was given several names. And he trusted and he believed. And he obeyed. Emmanuel, God with us. So we think about what this Emmanuel means. Just think about the stories of people searching for hope. Think about the terrorist attack in Manchester. Think about the Ariana Grande concert. Think about the young people who lit candles. Maybe not to Jesus, but they were longing for hope. Scott McRoberts, the guy who was behind me in the cinema on Friday evening, I was working with him in Inverness Royal Academy on Friday morning, and we were talking about hope in the darkness. And Friday afternoon, a fifth-year pupil was killed in a road accident, and his sister is in S4. And we can't be sure, but we think that both the boy that was killed and the sister were listening to us talking about hope in the darkness, listening to me talking about the fact that I was taking a funeral later that morning and saying that it's going to be sad, but it's also going to be joyful. Because with Christ, there is eternal life, there is hope. You see, this is reality. This is reality. And as the news came to me on Friday night of what happened, as it hit the press, I thought, what we were speaking about was not an escape from reality. What we were speaking about is tremendously real. And I thought of the head teacher, and I thought, I wonder how he's coping with this. So I wrote him a letter saying, can we be of any support? And there are people that are going through stuff this Christmas, and you have the light of hope in your life. If you know Christ, you know hope, and you can say to them, can I serve you? Can I help you? You see, he's the wonderful counselor. Why is he the wonderful counselor? because God became human. What is so great about counselors? They listen. God hears our prayers. God is the best counselor. He is the best listener. If you call out to him, your prayer will not bounce off the ceiling. It will reach his ear. He inclined his ear to me. He heard my prayer. He lifted me out of the pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. He put many new songs in the mouths, in the mouth of Zechariah, in the mouth of Mary, in the mouth of Simeon. There's a bursting forth of singing, songs of joy, because God has heard our prayers. And God is a wonderful counselor, not only because he hears prayers, but because he understands what we're going through. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God because his power is not like other kings. One line here. As in the day of Midian's defeat. Do you know the story from the Old Testament about how Gideon defeated the Midianites? How there was like 10,000 men, and God said, not 10,000, not 1,000 men, 300. And that the army got less and less and less until it became this really small, weak band against a mighty enemy. And what the scripture is telling us today is the way that God wins a victory of hope is through weakness, through vulnerability. God lives in a womb. God is born as a baby. God dies on a cross. He comes to serve the powerful in this world, think they are strong because they step on other people's necks, because they oppress other people. But God is not like the rulers of this world. He comes to serve. He comes in weakness. That's why he came in humanity. And he dies on the cross for us. That's the mightiness of God, the power of the cross, the one who reconciles us to the Father, and the one who gives us peace. You see, the oppression is massive. You just open the newspaper today and you see this 6-year-old girl who's buying a card from Tesco's, and inside the card, Christmas card from Tesco's, there's a message from a prison camp in China where these people are being oppressed under slavery, and they've sent a message of help, help. Please tell people about this oppression. And they gave a name, and the name of the person was a journalist who had been incarcerated for free speech in China. It's in the Times today. People are being oppressed all around the world. But it says here that the light has come for those who are in distress, for those who are oppressed. And how does God do it? He does it by removing the oppression from our shoulders. The greatest oppression is sin. The greatest oppression is rebellion against God. The guilt, the shame, the isolation from God. That's the most oppressive thing. And when we're cut off from God, we do horrible things to other people. But Jesus came, and the government was upon his shoulders. The justice was on his shoulders. And he took... This is what incarnation means. God becomes flesh. God becomes one of us. He's with us in our suffering. He's with us in our punishment. The punishment that we deserved fell upon him to release us from the judgment for our sins, to release us from the guilt, to release us from the shame, to release us from the curse of being cut off from God forever. And he releases us, and in the freedom, we can know him, we can love him, we can know peace. The only way you will know peace this Christmas is if you put your faith in the Prince of Peace. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, not upon us. That's the good news of Christmas. The good news of Christmas is so good that we just need to worship. We just need to worship. We just need to worship. We need to wonder, and we need to worship. Where is your hope this Christmas? God has come that you may have hope. Will you put your faith and trust in him again? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that the light shines in the darkness. The light of Christ. Thank you that you have come. And we pray that we will share that light and that hope with those who are oppressed, with those who are feeling hopeless this Christmas. We can do all things through you who give us strength. Strengthen us now in our faith. Strengthen us now in our service. And help us to rejoice always, because you have come. In Jesus' name, amen.